Hey, welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Puma.
I'm Tori.
And I'm just enjoying my time here this morning.
Guys, this is a... I know it was mentioned in the last podcast, but we really do have a lot of fun. We really do enjoy each other in this time. And it's just fun that we get to do this as father and son and laugh along the way. But guys, this is low-key kind of sad. This is our last... well, not last podcast, but the last of our integrity series.
Well, I hope it's not our last podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know that for sure.
That's fair. But hey, we're going to give it our best shot and welcome integrity.
But with integrity, we plan on doing more than just this one.
Yeah. We have lots of hopes and dreams. And yet, as Pastor James says, either God is completely sovereign or he isn't. And we trust that. But we are kind of concluding, wrapping up our series on integrity. I'm so challenged in the best way to watch my own heart. You know, what is the win for me, right? Like Daniel, you know, do I have a sensitive heart that won't give in to peer pressure like David? Do I have the kind of faith that perseveres like Job? I mean, all the different people we talked about, you know, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just the things they faced, and yet, you know, they were devoted to God regardless of who else, you know, with them or not.
And our ultimate example of integrity was Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who for the joy set before him endured the cross.
Yeah.
He had, you know, integrity.
He did.
You know, he lived a life of integrity, and that just frustrated the bejeebies out of the religious leaders because they were hypocrites.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that, you know, you bring up Jesus. One, because he is literally the author and perfecter of our faith from the last podcast, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Not fixing our eyes on Job, not fixing our eyes on Daniel, but fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Right. Those are good illustrations of people who walked with integrity.
Yeah.
See, so our theme verse, Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Mm-hmm. And part of walking with integrity is walking in line with God.
Yeah.
You know, to walk in step with God. And that was Jesus. I mean, mm-hmm. He walked in step with the Father's will, the Father's desire, whether it was convenient or whether it was, you know, hard. I mean, whatever the Father willed. And that is integrity, to do God-honoring thing regardless of the cost or maybe the consequences that might, hard consequences that might come, you know. And so that was kind of our operational definition, to do the God-honoring thing. And Jesus did that. And so you have Job and Daniel and others who follow in the way of Jesus to walk in integrity. And that is something that you and I can do.
Yeah.
See, this is not something that is for special people. It is just bending your heart and your will to walk as Jesus walked, to follow in integrity, to do the God-honoring thing that God has marked out for you, as we talked about last time, the race marked out for you.
Yeah, and as we conclude this series, particularly ending on our excuses, right, from last week, the excuses we make, this particular podcast is going to be very pointed, very heavily application-driven, which is good. It'll be a little bit different than some of our other podcasts, but, you know, I've come to realize when it comes to our integrity, when it comes to our obedience to God, you can either make a difference or make an excuse. You can't do both for the kingdom, you know? And I think there are lots of people in my life, even moments in my life, where I have sacrificed the immediate for the ultimate. I have given into the excuses and let opportunities slip by that I regret. And I've noticed I've never once regretted doing the right thing. I haven't.
Well, let's then jump into that and see where we finish.
Yeah, let's dive into this final concluding part of the integrity series and our excuses. All right, Puma. So we talked a little bit in length last time about just how we lie to ourselves and how truly one of the biggest temptations, I don't want to say roadblocks, but one of the biggest hangups we have with our integrity is the fact that we lie to ourselves and we excuse obedience in the name of either convenience or sometimes in the name of God. We just sacrifice and give up the call God has on us because we're excusing and justifying a lie somehow. And that isn't integrity. But today, we want to speak almost exclusively to the Christian, to the person that claims to be a follower of Jesus, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he came and died for our sins, that we've been adopted and redeemed by an almighty God. I'm going to speak to you directly because this last podcast will really focus on not just the fact that we should be people of integrity, but that God has in fact placed a calling on your life. We mentioned it last week on the road marked out for us in Hebrews 12. But we're going to focus a little bit more in depth on this. And some verses we have. First, I want to read from John 8. John 8, 31 and 32. It says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" And then verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You mentioned this last week. And I want to bring this up again because this is so important. I love how he didn't say, you know, "Hey, for those who believe in me, if you really think about my teaching, or if you really have a nice systematic theology about my teaching.
If you really have my teaching in a little book yeah. and you carry it around."
Right. He didn't even say, yeah. "If you memorize my teaching, but if you hold to it, if you apply it, if you live, if you act upon
if
it.
If you integrate it into the fabric of your life, into your thinking, into your heart, into your mind."
Yeah. Yeah. "If you apply my teaching, like you said, into the character of your being, then you are really my disciples." And 32, "Then..." Right? "If and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What does it mean to hold to the teachings of God? We can talk about integrity. We can talk about, you know, Bible characters, Jesus. We can talk about excuses. But if it's just, you know, hypothetical, if it's just something we discuss and memorize and talk about and write a book about, but we don't live it.
So the Christian life, we're really good at living vicariously through other things, right? I'm a member of the church, therefore I'm okay.
Yeah.
I went to Awana as a kid, therefore I'm okay. I grew up in a Christian house, therefore I'm okay. Or, you know, I own a Bible, therefore yeah. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what he's saying. That's not what it means to hold to the truth. We think that because I go to youth group every week, I just attend, that I'm okay. But it's not, those activities and all those things are a means to an end. They're not an end in themselves. But we convince ourselves that we're okay because we have those things in our life. When Jesus said to people all the time, and even to his own disciples, "Listen, you know, you don't get any marks because you're hanging out with me. You get marks when you actually listen to what I have to say and you want me to lead your life.
Yeah.
You want what I'm saying to be the operational matrix of your life, the operating system of your life." Mm-hmm. If Jesus isn't the operating system of your life, it doesn't matter how many times you talk to Christians, how many times you've been to the church or whatever.
Right.
When Jesus becomes operational, when how he thinks becomes how you think, what he desires becomes your desires, what his values become your values, Jesus becomes your truth. When holiness of Jesus becomes characteristic of your life, when obedience because of Jesus becomes a part of your life, that frees you.
Yes.
Those are the things that free us. And we all want to be free. We just don't like the means that God says that freedom comes through.
Right. Well, and to back off that point, Puma, that is so true. If we just talk about it, think about it, pray about it, sing about it, but it doesn't change our lives, it's not really real. And what's so interesting to me is that when it comes to our excuses, it's not just a desire. It has to affect our lives. And for the Christian, we have no excuse not to obey the Lord. We have no excuse not to forgive. We have been so forgiven. We have no excuse not to love because we have been so loved. We have no excuse to not be generous because we've been so been shared and been generous too. This podcast for the Christian, there is no excuse to not surrender our lives to God. And I know I say that blatantly and I know it's not that easy, but I think we can excuse, well, I don't have to forgive him or her. Well, I don't have to give up this because it's a good thing. Well, maybe you're missing God's best thing. And so if you're not a Christian, you know, you don't have to adhere to this. But for the Christian, for those who claim to love Jesus, we have no excuse to not surrender everything to him.
You know, that surrendering involves our thinking. So we've talked a lot about the heart in the past and how we think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul writes in Ephesians 4, don't live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. People that lack integrity, it's because of how they think about life. They make excuses for their sin. Mm-hmm. And it says they're darkened in their understanding. See, we need to have a transformed mind. And transformed mind is when we draw near to Jesus and we let the truth, you know, because Paul goes on to say, you didn't come to know Christ the way, you know, the world does just by seeing him. You heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, that we have to actually deal with sin in our life. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, it's about having a transformed heart, a transformed mind. You know, having the mind of Christ, let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. And so this is why, you know, just, you know, attending or doing good Christian-y things doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't curb the sinful heart.
True.
Just because I'm around good things doesn't make me good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and going back onto our purpose, right? I mean, God really does have a map, a race marked out for us. I love Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we, talking to the Christians, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. I love how God believes in us. It's hard to live with integrity. It's hard to say no to the flesh. Sin, again, Hebrews 12, so easily entangles us. And yet, God has a roadmap for us. God has things for us to do because he believes in us.
Right. We always think that because it's right, it's just doing the right thing. But when God says this is right, because this is best for us.
Yeah.
You know, God, when you say God is for us, not against us, when he tells us that this is right and this is wrong, it's not because, you know, he just wants us to conform to some, you know, standard because he's God, he can dictate our life. Mm. He's a heavenly father who loves us. Those who profess faith in Jesus are his children.
Hmm.
And he loves us. And so when he tells us things to do right, it's not just to do right, but it's also for our best. It is doing right is not only right before God, but it's also in our best interest.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
It's in our best interest to do that. It is freeing. It is fulfilling. It is purposeful. It is meaningful. It is getting to enjoy the blessings that God has for us and wants for us. We walk in integrity, walk in faithfulness and obedience.
Yeah. And so I completely agree. And we want to, in this podcast, give for the Christian 5 steps. These are kind of our AQs, and there's a lot of them. There's 5 of them. In my mind, these have been the most helpful. And understand, this is not scripture. This is Tori's opinion. This is not like, thus saith the Lord. But I want to make this really practical. We want to make this really practical for you guys, because excuses blind us and bind us, keep us captive. But integrity, following Jesus, frees us. And it can be hard to identify. It can be hard to know how, you know, well, I have excuses in my life, but truly, I don't know what they are or how to overcome them.
Well, see, that leads to really the first practical thing. You know, as you and I were talking, you know, we are naturally blind. But who does see our excuses?
Mm-hmm.
God does.
Yeah,
God does. So why don't we ask God, God, show me where I'm making excuses. One of the words we use there, the pray, right? But ask God, where am I making excuses? Mm-hmm. If you want to walk a life of integrity, if you want to walk in right relationship with the one who knows you and loves you, the one who sees, which is also amazing to me, he sees our hypocrisy, he sees our lack of integrity, and still loves us.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So ask him, say, God, show me, you know, where I am making excuses in my life. Show me where I am not walking in obedience or faithfulness, or I'm making excuses for my sin.
Yeah.
Show me the excuses for my sin and so that I can make them right and walk in integrity. Let the integrity of my heart guide me.
Yeah. 100% agree, Puma. Yeah. The first step, you know, point one, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. You know, the Holy Spirit is should never be underrated. Honestly, that's the most important part of all these 5 steps. Ask and pray, Holy Spirit, show me my sin. Because he will. He can. That's one of his jobs, to illuminate, you know. And
and Jesus said that the counselor in John 16 will convict the world of sin. And being convicted of sin is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is removing that which is harmful and dangerous and not beneficial. But he doesn't remove it. He replaces it with good, with truth.
Yeah. And that leads into our second step. So one, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the excuses in our lives. Number two, and this is an interesting one that I have found very helpful personally, but identify the why of your excuse. And what I mean by that is, after the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you know, Tori, you really have a hard time loving this group of people because you're insecure about yourself. You really have a hard time showing mercy to these people because of your past experiences. Write out and expose. Why is that?
Right, because when we talked about Jeremiah 17 last week, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Our hearts are naturally deceptive. And so do we really know the motivations or the actual desires or values in our heart? We think we do. But yeah, ask, what is my real motivation here? Why am I doing this? What am I trying to gain or trying to get?
Well, and also with point two, to identify the why, when you verbalize and write out, this is my excuse, it loses so much power over you. I mean, there's something about verbalizing, physically writing out, my excuse is X, Y, and Z.
Because it sounds good in your head. It sounds really stupid on paper.
It does. It really does. So like, for example, when I was in high school, I studied really hard. I tried to be a really good student. And it seemed like all of my friends, all of my peers didn't study and got great grades. They got great ACT scores. And although in my heart, I think I kind of knew, okay, the Holy Spirit was like, Tori, you're kind of jealous. You're kind of insecure. I didn't want to be around smart people because it brought up my own insecurities. But when I wrote out, okay, Holy Spirit, you're right. I'm insecure about this. And I wrote it out. I don't want to hang out with these people because they're smart. I'm like, that is such a dumb thing.
Right. That sounds so bad.
It sounds so bad. And so for step two, after the Holy Spirit shows you, write them out, write out why, and either verbalize it or write it out, because it loses power. When you expose the excuse with the truth, it loses power over you. And that goes to, so number one, Holy Spirit, ask them to show you. Number two, write out and expose the lie, verbalize it. Number three, like you said, Puma, like you said, three, go to God's word. Because guys, this is so cool. When it comes to our excuses, if we've created them, if we have given them power, then we can destroy them. And you have to destroy it with truth.
You know, and this is why God's word, you know, it's one thing to pray. We also need to be reading God's word. Let the Holy Spirit take God's word and reveal to us what our true motivations are.
Yeah.
Because you can't be set free if you don't know what you need to be set free from.
Okay. Change your excuse to integrity. For example, right, going back to high school, right, I didn't care for smart people because I was insecure. I felt kind of dumb, and I had a prejudice against them. I had a personal bias for people like me because I felt inferior being around smart people. I'm not a victim in Christ. I'm a victor. So why do I view my excuse as a thing to control me to stop friendships that are really good people? Like, I'm not a victim here.
Because we project our insecurity onto them.
We do.
And we make them the bad person when they're just being who they are.
We do. Yeah. Absolutely. And guys, how do you change an excuse to truth? How do you change a lie to integrity? You have to go back to the promises of God's word. And like you said, Puma, we have to go back to truth. God's promises override our excuses. Mm-hmm. It really does. And if we have an excuse, we can take God's word and combat those lies with truth. And not just combat, we need to make war. Yeah. We need to attack sin. Colossians 3:5, a great verse that has helped me in the past. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly sinful nature. Are we putting to death our excuses? Because we're called to. If there's a lie, if there's a breach of our integrity, we can't be neutral about that.
Right.
We have to combat it.
Well, I like what Romans 8 says. You know, it says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. And I think sometimes this is how we feel. Well, this is just how I am, right? Part of the excuse of not living integrity is, oh, this is just the way I am.
Right.
This is the way God made me. But, you know, Paul writes, no, we have an obligation, but our obligation is not to live according to our sinful nature. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, our obligation in Christ is to go to war with sin, to put to death the misdeeds, to not make excuses, but to live in integrity, to not say, oh, this is just the way I am. People just have to deal with it because, this is just the way I am. To go to war with sin in our heart and not make excuses for it.
I was trying to think of like a little ditty or something to remind them, hey, make war against your sin. Make war against your excuses. Not only is that biblical, but again, if we're not actively killing sin, sin is actively killing us. And so I'm going to read some of them. We had about over 30, which is... Yeah, take it or leave it. It was helpful. I want to share it because I think it's funny, but it also was helpful to me to remind myself of these things. So, yes, how do you change your excuse to integrity? Destroy the decoy. Don't justify the silly lie. Part with the evil myth. Disable the label. Impale the fairy tale. Cut ties with the lies. Wreck the speck. Defeat the deceit. And I mean, we had a bunch more, but sure.
But getting them to just kind of think about,
yeah,
you know, what do I? It's, I mean, all those things. You know, you start out with like deceit and all these things are bad, but you need to get rid of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and they are decoys. They're not real. Right. These excuses are not the ultimate goal as a Christian, and yet we live in them. Our excuses control us, and in Christ, with truth, we can combat sin, and that's really empowering. You know, so number one, pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal. Number two, once he reveals, write out and expose, verbalize, write out those excuses and why they're powerful. Three, change your excuse to integrity with God's word, and be active, actively fight against this excuse. And the fourth one is really just a question, which helps us think forward thinking and not just in the moment. But the question for number four, what do I lose if I continue to excuse?
Sin always has consequences.
It does.
And this is why, you know, walking with integrity, our operating definition is doing the God-honoring thing regardless of the cost or consequence.
Yeah.
You see, everything we do has a cost to it and has a consequence to it. And so, yeah, what are we going to lose if we continue to walk in our excuses or to walk in our sin? Because sin always comes at a cost. It's never just, you know, so we think, oh, I lied. Not a big deal, but there's a cost to it. There's a consequence to it. And the consequences and the cost always end up being like relational.
Yeah.
Because that's the area that sin works in. Sin works in the midst of relationships, destroys and breaks relationships. So when you talk about the cost or consequence, you know, how is this impacting the relationships in my life and the people that I care about and where I want to go relationally?
Yeah. Well, I like this question too, because it forces us to move past the here and now and think of a future, not just with ourselves, with other people, right? If you continue to excuse stealing petty things at work or cutting corners here, if you continue to excuse not seeking reconciliation with your family, if you continue to excuse holding a grudge, well, if they hurt me so bad, I can hold a grudge. I should be bitter about this.
Right. Continue to just have a life of disrespect toward your boss.
Yeah, or parents or whoever. If you continue to excuse, you really do put yourself at risk and those around you at risk down the road. It's easy to be stuck in the moment and like, well, okay, I'll be better now, but it won't affect 10 years down the road with my grandkids. Well, actually, sin always has collateral. So yes, number four, what do I lose if I continue to excuse? And the last one, Puma, is kind of a bonus one.
Ooh, bonus.
A bonus. You know,
those that have stuck around this long get a bonus.
That's right, bonus. Nice. You know, and this, again, it all sounds maybe not easy, but it sounds doable. It's really hard to live out. Number five really is a bonus. I know we included it in our, you know, 5 points, but really this is for those that want to hold ourselves accountable. These are, you know, 5 points, but they're hard to live out. Easy to talk about, hard to live out. And again, we want to hold to God's teaching, not just talk about it and think about it. And so the fifth that has really helped me, tell someone about the change, about the excuse. Ask someone that you trust, that you respect, hey, these are the place or the places that I make excuses in my life, and I want you to help hold me accountable. When I make this excuse, call me out on it. You know, and this is really hard. This is where you will be offended, because we all make excuses. You and I, Puma, make excuses. And yet, this fifth point, it can really help make lasting change.
Well, and this is the nature of sin, isn't it? I mean, you got Genesis 1, Adam and Eve, when God came to them, where were they? They were hiding. Why? Because we always try to hide or cover up our sin. There's something freeing and, you know, humbling, but also freeing when you share with someone else, you know, your area of struggle or areas of making excuses.
Yeah.
And honestly, within the Christian community, my experience is when people are honest about sin, they find mercy and grace amongst the community, not condemnation and judgment.
Yeah.
I know our world likes to scream that the church is all about condemnation and judgment. In my experience in the communities that I've been in, those that have a really genuine love for Jesus, sincere relationship with him, when we come clean about areas of our life with each other, I've only seen, you know, mercy and grace, and it actually builds up the body and reinforces the, you know, faithfulness and really highlights what the gospel is all about. But because we so often don't do this, we don't share our sin, our struggles, and this is an area of sin, making excuses for sin.
Yeah.
When we keep it all private, then the enemy has a foothold in that. Mm. And really, because he loses his power when sin is exposed.
Yeah.
Sin likes to hide in the dark. When the light shines, it's exposed, it loses its power over us, and Satan loses his influence of deception.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, guys, I love how you kind of, we forget that Satan lives in fear, lives in excuses, lives in lies, and we have a real enemy. And so let's not give the devil a foothold.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, to recap these 5 points, number one, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the sin. Number two, when he does, and I really believe if you seek him, you'll find him. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal your sin because he loves you. He wants you to be like, be holy. So when he reveals, number two, make sure you write out and expose it. Write out or verbalize the excuses and the why, because that loses power when you are able to verbalize your excuse. Number three, change your excuses to integrity with God's word. Make war against your excuses, right? Wreck the speck, right? Destroy the decoy. Because if you're not killing sin, if you're not killing your excuses, they're killing you. Number four, ask the question. And honestly, if you want to write it out. What do I lose if I continue to excuse? And the fifth one, tell someone, ask for accountability. Those will help you push through past the initial, you know, oh, I really want this. I want to change to, oh, now I'm held accountable, right? And those five things have really helped me. It has helped my teens overcome some of these excuses we make. And, you know, I love, Puma, how, you know, you referenced even last week, right? Just John 8. And this week, Ephesians 2:10, God has a plan for you. There is a better path. Going back to Hebrews 12, there's a race marked out for you. Run the race.
Right. Yeah, God gives us hope, not despair. Despair is the realm of the evil one. It's the realm of sin. Mm-hmm. Hope is the realm of Jesus and the gospel and truth. Mm-hmm. And so there is always hope. There's always hope. You know, as we're finishing up this series on integrity, you know, what Proverbs, 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Mm-hmm. And so our operating kind of definition of that is to do the God-honoring thing without, regardless of the cost and consequence. Yeah. And that's Tori and I's hope for ourselves and our desire for us, as well as for all of you who are listening, who have kind of gone through this journey with us to, you know, on integrity. We all are in this together. You know, we all are tempted to sin, to be hypocritical, to make excuses, but by God's grace and God's help, that we can grow through this. So we just thank you so much for, you know, going through this with us, and just really appreciate it. You know, we always, you know, if you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to us at thepumidpodcast@gmail.com. Is that right, Tori?
That's right. That's the one.
Okay,
Well, and too, just before we sign off, you know, everybody ends up somewhere in life. Why not end up somewhere on purpose? Hmm. Why not let integrity guide you? Why let excuses guide you? And, you know, they really, everyone does. We all end up somewhere in life. Let integrity guide you. Let Jesus Christ lean into his calling for your life. Your excuses will control you and make you small. But following Jesus and living a life of integrity makes you bigger than you. In fact, it makes you impact eternity. Because remember, Ephesians 2:10, God has a calling on your life. He's called you to bigger things. Please don't let your excuses hold you back. God has something better. It's more difficult. Integrity is hard, but it is better. End up somewhere in life on purpose.
So, yeah, amen.
Guys. Amen.
All right.
Well, we'll see you next week, guys.
We're so glad that you joined us.
We really are glad.
We are glad. I'm glad. Are you glad, Tori?
I'm glad.
I'm very glad. All right. Hey, we'll see you next week at 10:10 on
Friday.
Yes, sir.
On a Friday.
Is that right, Tori?
That's absolutely right, Puma.
Okay. See, he's keeping me accountable.
There you go.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.